Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
Hey there, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. So glad that you are here. I am honored. You're listening to the number one industrial-related podcast in the universe. That is my story, and it is all. Every bit of it is dedicated to you, the industrial professionals, the companies that get it done. You're bold, you're brave, you dare greatly, you innovate, you're changing the world, you're changing lives. We need you more than ever, big time, in this whatever we call this world we live in today. Now, we have a great interview with a gentleman by the name of Dr. Josh Luke. And you know what we're going to be talking about? Yep, saving money on your healthcare costs, not just from an individual point of view, but from a company point of view, and you can do it. He lays the lumber down on truth on how to do this. So let's get going. Yeah. Simple stuff, too. I mean, Dr. Josh, talks a little bit about being a, let's look for it, an engaged healthcare consumer. You can't complain about that. That's important stuff. Let's be engaged. And especially now, when you're focused on, you know, collaborating, when you're focused on innovating, when you're focused on education, when you're focused on taking action as fast as you can and just being bold out there and moving forward, he's got a message that you need to hear about. And I really believe that. But before we really get into that interview, which is right around the corner and you're going to love it, we want to get your pen and paper out. We've got a virtual webinar, and it's brought to you by IIoT World. Go out to IIoT-world.com. It's right on their landing page, and it's called Be Ready to Scale Digital for Manufacturing 4.0 Through Challenging Times, and it is a challenging time, and it's brought to you by that wonderful company called Hitachi Vantara. Now go out to Hitachi Vantara. That's Vantara. And I'm telling you, their website is pretty spectacular. And they've just got a ton, and I mean a ton of information out there, just right there. And when we start talking about education, when we start talking about learning, I would go to that website because it's all right there. And they're doing remarkable things. Again, this is a webinar scheduled for May 21st. It is Be Ready to Scale Digital for Manufacturing 4.0, May 21st, 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Be there, be square. I'm going to be there because I got to keep learning. You know that. All right, on to the interview. Now, Dr. Josh is also a podcaster. He talks a lot about how to spend less for your healthcare. I thought it would be a great opportunity to have this gentleman on the podcast because he brings a lot of wisdom. And some of the things that we don't know about, we talk about it in the podcast. And when he starts talking about saving 30, 40%, in this time, it's needed information. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, it's going to be difficult to do that. It's not even. I mean, these are simple things that can be done today and that you can begin to save on your bottom line. And the guy, Dr. Josh, is an open book. He knows his stuff. I mean, he really does. So here we are with the interview. Dr. Josh is the gentleman's name. You will have all, and I mean all the information to connect with Josh Luke, Dr. Josh Luke, out on industrialtalk.com. So enjoy the interview and learn something. Hey, Dr. Luke, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. So glad that you are here. Thank you very much for making time in your doggone busy schedule because you're a big thinker. You're moving and shaking within the healthcare industry. Welcome.
Thanks for having me. Really excited to chat.
Oh, man, look at you. 5x5 on that. Listeners, he's a podcaster. You can tell because he's got that kick-ass doggone mic right there. Yeah. Anyway, thank you for having that mic ready to go. Okay, now we've got to lay that foundation. Give us a little background on who you are and why you're such an incredible professional, and then we're going to go into the topic of how we reduce healthcare costs. And don't roll your eyes out there if you're listening. It's going to be engaging. Go.
Yeah, so I'll give you the two-minute version of my unconventional path to becoming a hospital CEO and now an advocate for bringing your healthcare costs down both as a business and as a family. I had two older brothers that were professional athletes. Can you imagine being in high school? I'm sitting there my senior year on the bench during my basketball game, watching my teammates play, thinking, you know, maybe I should have a backup plan for my career other than being a professional athlete as I sit here on the bench.
And watching my brothers.
That's right. Even though my brothers are, you know, hitting balls deep in the majors and stuff like that. So I actually went to school to be in sports marketing, and I did that. And in 1998, I actually was representing Mark McGuire doing his marketing and public relations the year he broke the home run record. That was also turned out to be my older brother Matt's rookie with the Dodgers. So I was living my dream in 1998, got married. I was working in sports marketing for some of the top sports figures and leagues in the world. And then about just a couple years later, my grandmother was sick as she aged, and I was frustrated that nobody seemed to communicate with each other as they cared for her, that she wasn't simply able to get basic access to healthcare. I started learning about healthcare. I just got married and was starting soon to start a family, and just said to my wife, you know, I've been just having this gut feeling and that I need to pursue a career that has more of a social mission, and kind of fell in my lap to go into healthcare. So I trained to be a nursing home administrator. I did that for several years until this small hospital in Southern California, right next to Anaheim, right next to Disneyland, Anaheim actually, called and said, hey, we're looking for a CEO for our hospital. And even though you've never worked in a hospital, the majority of our revenue comes through our nursing home and psychiatric unit. Right. We'd be willing to teach you how to run a hospital if you can fill up those units and make some money for us. So I did that, and that launched my hospital career.
Hold on. You dropped some, fill up those units? What? How do you do that?
Yeah. I mean, well, so in a hospital, and that's actually a really hot topic right now because of COVID-19.
Right.
One of the things I've been interviewing on radio and TV stations with nationally the last 2 weeks is because I have that unique background of being a hospital and nursing administrator. One of the things I've said is, hey guys, quit focusing on the hospitals. The issue here is the nursing homes. They have like a, not just a triple or quadruple whammy, but there's like five things coming at them. They're going to cripple their business for 2 years. And it starts with, they have a large number of their seniors dying, emptying beds. Then you and I are pulling our moms and dads out of the nursing homes, as we should, to get them away from that virus. And number three, they have these legislators coming in there and smacking them about not doing things right when they actually should be helping them, and then come back later and say, hey, we're going to fine you because you did things wrong. But right now they need help more than ever. And then you also have lawsuits that are going to be coming. And there's just so many different things. And the fifth of the five reasons is the nursing homes aren't taking new patients that have COVID because we're trained not to take patients who have a communicable disease or contagious. So here's the point I want to make with those five things. You know how long it takes to fill 50 nursing home beds? It takes a year to fill those beds.
50
beds. If you figure you get 2 to 3 new patients a week, couple go in, couple go out, and each bed represents money.
Yeah.
Okay, $300 to $800 a day.
Yeah.
So these nursing homes have a real tough financial road ahead of them because of all those what we call census issues with empty beds.
See that? I didn't realize that. See?
Yeah.
You're dropping the truth bombs here, man. I didn't realize that at all. And it is a business. And it's like, doggone it, you're right. You don't want to have, and I would imagine it's quite a sort of a balancing act. You don't want to say, hey, we've got free beds here, or we got beds available. Bring your elderly. You're not going to do that.
No.
I mean, yeah. So that's an interesting challenge. And
you'll love this guy. Let me tell you one quick thing. I'm a public speaker, folks. I speak to associations and companies around the country. I give everybody a free book when I speak, one of my three best-selling books. But here's one of the lines I say. I say, hey, raise your hand if you can't wait for the day that you personally get to get admitted to a convalescent home for the rest of your life. Okay. And you can imagine how many people raise their hands. But the point I'm trying to make is this, that, hey, this system's broken because we send you there without asking your permission, and nobody really wants to go there.
Yeah, you're spot on there. That is. I know I haven't thought about. I might have thought about it, but I don't want to think about it. So, I move along and shove it under the table where it needs to be.
Well, as long as you know the difference between a nursing home, which means you're ill, and an assisted living, and those assisted livings are 5-star. Man, I walk in there, I look at my wife, I'm like, man, I might have to wait 15 more years, but I can't wait to move in here. I get my own private wine locker. They're making food for me. It smells nice. So, in any case,
all right. Okay, so. We've got, you know, the elephant in the room, of course, is COVID. You mentioned it briefly. And we're here, listeners, we're going to talk a little bit about the realities of reducing the cost. And we're going to specifically focus in on healthcare just because I think that is an absolutely a must. Why do we, if I put my business hat on there, and I'm not going to talk to you, you know, I call you Dr. Luke, or Dr. Yeah, Dr. Josh Luke. I'm going to call you Josh, whether you like it or not. Why do we as business, especially today, why do we need to look at our healthcare costs?
Yeah, great question. And after I told you the story of going from sports marketing to the hospital C-suite, I actually left there after my mom got diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Said, I'm done being a CEO, created a not-for-profit to really help Americans improve access to healthcare and also make it affordable. And so Forbes approached me about writing a book targeting American businesses, teaching them how to cut down their second largest cost. In your business, your second largest cost is the cost of providing benefits, health insurance to your employees. And so my last two books are both called Health Wealth. It's a series. One targets the business owner or the HR director or CFO, teaching them how to save up to 40% a year on their current amount. And folks, that's not witchcraft. That's not made up. That's not wishful thinking. That is a fact. I will introduce you to the people all over the country who are saving 40% off of your second largest business cost. Now, Scott, if we had more time, I would pause for impact right there because I usually do. This is real money, 40% off your second largest cost, which is health benefits.
Okay, but I'm gonna pose a little problem here. Right now, let's just the economy's shot. Businesses are struggling. And if this is my second largest, as a business owner, I'm just trying to keep the doors open.
That's right.
And I'm going to reduce as much cost as I possibly can, if not eliminate it. And then say, hey, employee, go find your own,
And that's what one of the inherent debates about Obamacare was, right? Do we have to or do we not have to provide health benefits? That's a whole different debate we won't get into here. Yeah. But right now you have 3 million Americans looking at forcing, you know, either enrolling in COBRA or not enrolling in COBRA. Let me give you a little tip if you're one of them. This is a huge tip. You don't need to enroll in COBRA when it's offered. You can wait till you get to the emergency room and say, oh, well, now I got to pay. For it. So you could be, I think, you know, a month and a half down the road and not have elected COBRA.
Yeah.
And when you need it, you go back and you sign up. So that's very important to know. But when you're talking about $1,400 to $2,000 a month for health insurance, that's still, you know, with all due respect, health insurance in this country isn't great. Very few people who are unemployed can afford that. So, so now's the time. This is top of mind. It's a great time. Scott, as you know, I have a website, nonprofit foundation, called spendlessonhealthcare.org, where we offer 10 free tips for individuals to figure out how to save money on healthcare. And now more than ever, people are flocking to it, even though it's just a few months old. People are flocking to it because it's 10 free tips to spend less on healthcare. We give you some personal input on our spending reduction tool. And for businesses, there's also some redirect there where we will forward you over to organizations who have saved millions in some cases, not just thousands, who also can help you with this problem.
And that website again?
SpendLessOnHealthcare.org.
I missed the on.
Yeah, spend less on. And you know, I always try to capitalize the first letter of those four words. SpendLessOnHealthcare.org. Check it out. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. And you're not trying to, it's a .org, so you're there to just help as many people as you possibly can.
Yeah, it's a not-for-profit foundation. I'm not a broker. I'm not selling anything. I have vetted a lot of these organizations. I should say we have the team of folks that are all committed to this. We vet organizations. We actually have a partners portal on our menu bar. And when you click on that, each of the organizations there has been vetted to say, yes, they can save you money, and they are a real company that we vetted. So we take pride in that.
So, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but what does the future hold? I mean, this is unique time. This is, and you know as well as I do, it's going to be difficult to pay for health insurance.
Yeah.
It's going to be difficult for companies to sit there and say, I got to keep on providing health. I don't even have people. I got to provide health. There's a lot of disruption that exists. And I would imagine within the healthcare environment, what do you see? Put on that little future hat for business.
Yeah.
I don't have an answer. I don't know.
People call me a healthcare futurist, Scott, honestly, because I read the Affordable Care Act and said, here's what's coming, guys. It's an insurance model. But let me answer your question more broadly. The inherent flaws, regardless of your political affiliation in Obamacare, were this. Not every American wants healthcare, number one. That was an assumption that was made that shouldn't be made. And I'll explain that in a second. And number two, if we would focus on not trying to find a way to pay for everybody, then we might actually be able to find a solution, because we already have essentially government-funded healthcare, but all we did is cost shift. So what we're not doing is addressing the cost of healthcare. We're fighting over who pays for it. And I think something can be read into the fact that Bernie Sanders finally dropped out because his whole platform was Medicare for all. Mm-hmm. And I think people go, well, don't we kind of already have that? And it doesn't seem to work because people are not enrolling. And again, this isn't a political debate. These are facts that I spew out there as a public policy professor at the University of Southern California, now at Hope International University. This is what I teach. So here's what's coming. Now with COVID and 3 million people out of work and healthcare being the reason and the focus and COBRA bills showing up and having, you know, causing fights within the home because, you know, the mom wants health insurance because that's what we were brainwashed to think. You've got to have this awful insurance, right? Even though it's awful. And the dad's going, wait, I can't pay for this. I don't even have a job. So there's a couple things coming, and all of these are the kind of things you're going to find at spendlessonhealthcare.org. You're going to see cost sharing replace health insurance in massive amounts. Cost sharing is, I'm a member. You may have heard of something called MediShare, which is a Christian cost sharing community that was grandfathered by Obamacare. But nowadays, and guys, if you're not a church going Christian, that's not the one for you. Okay. Because when it comes time for them to pay, they might ask if they can speak to your pastor or whatever it might be. But now you have Sedera, S-E-D-E-R-A, excuse me, Sedera Health. I'm a member of Fit Health, F-I-T Health. That's a cost sharing. So what, let me just, those are the names, but let me just tell you what happens. Instead of $1,500 a month for my family of five, three teenagers, I pay $520 a month, okay? Separately, I pay $150 a month for a doctor. It's called Direct Primary Care, or DPC. Again, all this stuff is on the website, okay? I can walk in anytime. I can text him anytime, and I have free telehealth anytime. And guys, I'm not going to go into it on this show because we're limited on minutes, but if you are going to a doctor still for a sore throat when you wake up in the morning, you're crazy. Okay. You can have it resolved in 5 minutes on your phone, on your iPad, a prescription called in, pick it up on the way to work. Those are the type of things you're going to find. Those are the future. And I know your next question, we're going to talk about what an EHC is. So I'll save that.
Just one second. In line of what you just told me, I do the same thing. I got I got a buddy that's a doctor. I pay him an annual fee of X. And I'm a part of this sort of, quote, catastrophic type of business model. So if I come down with whatever, my ears are falling off, I can do that cost share. Boom. And it's a fraction. And just so that you know, it doesn't have to be a buddy. He offers that type of service. The service is spectacular.
Let me clarify too, because a lot of people are like, wait, you're talking about rich people, concierge medicine. No, we're not. That's what it was 10 years ago.
Not now.
Now it's a modified version of that, where for $150, my cost sharing plan deducted my monthly cost by $100 because I'm a member of that, because they know it works. And that doctor's job is to not send me to the hospital for tests unnecessarily. So it's called Direct Primary Care. And again, not to go back to the website, but here's what we share, something called DPC Frontier. And that.com, and that's a website where you can find a direct primary care doctor in your neighborhood. For an individual, I think it's maybe $45 a month.
It's dirt cheap for me.
Walk in anytime.
And it's it's like a membership, and then I'll pay, if I go in, $30?
And they have contract with labs, and they do all the work for you.
They do. Yeah, you know, they'll find the inexpensive solution. It's like, oh, hey, Scott, I see that you need a CPAP. Let me go figure out the cheapest. I found it. Here you go.
So if you're the owner of a business, or the CFO, or the HR director, whoever's responsible for benefits, you hear Scott and I getting excited about this right now. We're talking about individuals. Imagine when you multiply that times your 40 employees, your 200 employees, you're saving probably 50 to 60% more than the individual when they engage. And we're about to talk about that here in a second.
Easily. And the care is spectacular. It's just spectacular. Okay. Let's go down the road of EHC, because I see that on the form that you filled out, and
That's a term I made up, and it's simple. You shop for a house, you shop for a car. Why don't you shop for healthcare? It's your body. It's the most important asset you have. So I want you to become an EHC, an engaged healthcare consumer, just like you engage in the home buying process or the car buying process. What does it take to become an EHC? Well, I've narrowed it down to three P's, as in have a plan based on personalized medicine and preventative medicine. And the tips that Scott and I have already been talking about move you in that direction of saying, hey, I'm going to spend less on this awful reactive delivery model that I was raised with in the 80s and 90s that got more and more expensive. And I'm going to move towards having a private doctor once again who spends 20 minutes with me each time I go in, who texts me back. And when it's after hours, I can have a telehealth consult and get a prescription called in immediately. Yeah. I'm going to go back to that. And now I'm going to start to use technology that focuses on my body. And we can do personalized medicine, whether it's DNA testing or the microbiome, to mm-hmm. know which foods are best fit for my body, because it's not generic, as we've always been told. And also to know which medications my body metabolizes. And let me just give you 20 seconds on pharmacogenetics. You can do a DNA test or get your full genome sequence is the real name, yeah. okay? Yeah. And it can tell you exactly which medications your body metabolizes and which ones it doesn't. And so many people have said the exact medication that my doctor prescribed me more and more of for years, when I did my DNA test, came out to be one that my body won't metabolize, and that was the problem all along. It's real. It's not witchcraft. It's not science. Let me ask you this, Scott. Yep. Every time you turn on the TV in the 80s and the 90s and they talked about Eastern medicine, wasn't there incense burning in the doctor's waiting room? Hollywood wants us to think it's witchcraft. It's not, true. People. It's just focusing on health.
It is. And there's so much we don't know. I mean, geez, I was broadcasting from a physical therapy conference in Denver, and I was just fascinated by the technology and what they're doing to treat people in a very innovative and creative way, just because that's how the body works, right? They're just sure. using some of the body's capabilities. But by the way, is barbecue chips easily metabolized? Because apparently I'm going for the COVID-25. I just went right past 19 and boom, I'm on to 25. And I feel good about my victory.
So let me explain nutrigenomics, much like I just explained pharmacogenetics. Okay, my wife and I both had our microbiome, which is basically a gut check done, okay? And one of the things that hers showed is that her body doesn't metabolize corn or corn chips. So the answer for her is no. So we call these fuels and blockers, to really simplify it. So corn tortillas, corn chips are a blocker for her, and she feels it. It's almost like comparing it to being... you know, when you can't drink milk, the names escape me real quick. Lactose intolerant. Just think of it at that, but for every food. Mine said corn's fine for me. You know, normally, you know, nutritionists are like, corn doesn't really have that much, but my body metabolizes it is the point. So that's nutrigenomics, and it's no longer like way out there in the future. Does it work? Does it not? They have factual evidence that both pharmacogenetics and nutrigenomics are effective.
But do you think just where we stand on this life cycle of healthcare, We're forced to, in a good way, not in a negative way, we're forced to look at other solutions and options to truly help prevent, to treat, to do whatever is necessary. And we're just sort of, we've got to do it. The old days, we were just, you know, here's the healthcare and just do this, boom, boom, boom. Now it's because of maybe cost, because of, you know, it's sort of, you know, difficult to understand or whatever it might be, we're forced to do certain things that we've never done in the past.
Yeah. And maybe. Millennials, who are now the largest generation in the workforce, you know, kind of grew up with technology and grew up with a healthier lifestyle. They're more into walking than they are driving and all these things. And so that shift from reactive healthcare delivery to proactive focus on health is naturally occurring. And those big, powerful health plans are so big and powerful and profitable that even when there's a 10, 15% dent in their business and they lose that, they're not even going to blink until it gets to 20 or 25 and their, you know, massive, you know, billions of dollars a year profits are starting to be threatened. Yeah. But it's going to take us becoming EHCs. And again, if you're a business owner or a manager, your number one role in that book I wrote, Health Wealth is Healthcare Bankrupting Your Business, is to get your employees to become EHCs, engaged healthcare consumers. And your job is to create what I call a health wealth environment. Create an environment where everywhere they go, they're encouraged to live healthy, make healthy decisions that brings all of your costs down.
One last question. And because we got to wrap it up. I'm a company. Let's say I'm the average company that's really going through a problem right now, given the situation of the economy and blah, blah, blah. What is that one recommendation that you can provide that sort of helps me gives me some sort of hope in the future that I can survive whatever I'm going through, because my focus is just, you know, how do I keep the doors open? Give me that one little you know.
Yeah. So if you're a company, you know, that is saying, I call it the tipping point. You want to declare your health wealth tipping point, where for years you've had executives hired and fired because of their ability to control this cost or manage that cost, whether it's payroll, whether it's your rent, whether it's, you know, whatever product you're spending the most money on to deliver your product. But what you've done is you've ignored healthcare benefit costs because you just assume you get a kick in the shorts every year for 5 to 8% when your buddy, your high school buddy, your broker, who's supposed to be looking out for you, takes you to a nice steak dinner. And at the end of it, hands you an envelope with a 5 to 8% increase and says, oh, at the bottom, there's a 2 bullet points with the benefits we're taking away from you, even though we're increasing it 5 to 8%. And so folks, there's a not-for-profit called the Health Rosetta, R-O-S-E-T-T-A, I think it is. You can go to my websites and find it. The Health Rosetta is a not-for-profit. In one chapter in my book, I actually didn't want to market for them, so I just called it a bumper-to-bumper review of all expenses you have on healthcare, just like you would do in your home every year, right, when you're doing your budgeting. The Health Rosetta does that for you. It starts over. There's actually kind of a nickname in the industry for the like Health Rosetta residual, that there's companies that have had $300,000 and $400,000 and $500,000 savings in the first year over what they spent prior year. Yeah. And I know one company down in the Southeast took that and bought an air conditioning system for the building because their employees were willing to work with them on that. And the employees actually reported that they liked the new healthcare delivery benefit package better.
They're just options out there. So with that said, are you active out on LinkedIn?
Yeah, you can find me at Dr. Josh Luke. On LinkedIn. You can find me on Twitter at @JoshLuke4Health. And if you're interested in hiring me to speak, I would appreciate it, because most of my speaking gigs in the summer of 2020 were canceled during a pandemic. But you can go to drjoshluke.com. And I also have a YouTube channel and a new show called Spend Less, Live Well on YouTube, where we talk about healthcare, faith, financial, responsible management, kind of all those things packaged into one.
You're a freaking digital animal. That's what you are.
Busy.
A Dr. Digital Animal. Yeah. Son of a gun. That's cool. Now, you have a podcast. One last plug. What's the name of it?
Yeah, Spend Less, Live Well. We changed the name of it recently, so it's not so focused on healthcare, because I wanted folks like your listeners to say, hey, there's something for me here. And again, it's going to combine not just healthcare, how to save money, but how to manage money financially in a financially responsible manner. Sure. A lot of pastors coming on to talk about the biblical connection between responsible financial management. And here's where I got this whole idea, is how we tie that financial faithful responsibility to healthcare, because I think the pandemic has opened a lot of people's eyes to, I have to make a change here.
Yeah, it's opened up our eyes.
Yeah.
And then it's pried it open, and then it's wrapped its finger over the top of our head. And if you're not awake by now, well, congratulations, I guess, because you're missing a lot of things. Anyway, hey, great job, Luke. Thank you very much for being on the Industrial Talk podcast. You guys, you listeners out there, I'm going to wrap it up on the other side. So stay tuned. Do not go away. I will know when you go away. So stay tuned. We'll wrap it up.
Thanks so much for having me. And go Dodgers.
Go Blue.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
Hey there, thank you again for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. That is Dr. Josh Luke once again. He's got an email out there. I'm going to put it on industrialtalk.com. He's got a podcast out there. I'm going to put it out on industrialtalk.com. He's got 10 free tips to spend less in healthcare. Yeah, I'm going to put it out there on industrialtalk.com, on his landing page, where you can find this incredible interview with that gent. And so once again, let's get your paper and pencil out. We're talking one more time. There's no excuse, because it's virtual. Go out to IIoT World homepage. Boom, there it is. Be ready to scale digital for manufacturing 4.0 through challenging times. That is May 21st, right around the corner at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Click on that registration button. Boom, you're good to go. And it's sponsored by Hitachi Vantara. That's V-A-N-T-A-R-A. Go out to their website too, because they got a ton of stuff as well to just soak up, because we're talking about collaborating. You got to learn. You got to talking about innovation. You got to learn. Of course, you got to learn. You got to take action. You got to do it with a sense of urgency, because we depend on you, right? And so make it happen. Don't be afraid of failing. Get back up. Brush your knees off. Be bold. Be brave. Dare greatly. Thank you. changing the world. That's what you're doing, and that's what this podcast is all about. You. Thank you. And we will talk again tomorrow.